How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
And we're live. Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. We're laughing here because Harrison wanted to have a conversation 2 seconds before we went live.
Well, to be fair to me, you did not tell me we were going live.
Nice. All right, whatever. Today's show and all of our shows can be found on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Make sure you're using the promo code LO Lakers on SeatGeek to get your $20 rebate off of your first purchase there. Hey, the Lakers won.
Yeah, that's a new thing. It's been three whole games since they last won, but I think it says something about this team and how excited we all are for them that actually felt like a long time. I think like last year they would go on 8-game losing streaks or whatever. And, you know, I don't know. I don't have the exact number of how many games they lost in a row in last year in front of me, but like, no, it didn't seem like anybody cared that much. Nobody was like, okay, you need to win this one to get off the losing streak. It was kind of like, all right, they're going to get a really good draft pick.
Yeah, just
and this year, this year you have people like tweeting at the Lakers official account sometimes, just saying like, Lakers, I need a win tonight.
I feel like people who do that think that it just their social media guy Ty just goes to the rest of the team and is like, guys, just in case you were wondering, at Laker fan 286 is really really aching for a win tonight.
No, I talk to Ty about this sometimes. Like Luke Walton actually wears an earpiece and Ty just tells him if like at the end of the game, if it's close, he's like, hey, there are a couple Laker fans that tweeted at me that they want us to win tonight. So you got to try and win the game. And Luke's just like, all right, Ty, you're the mastermind.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just thinking to myself how unfortunate it was that there were babies born within the last week who had never seen a Lakers win.
Yeah, well, hey, D'Angelo Russell made sure that didn't go for much longer tonight. He took care of business in the fourth quarter.
He was phenomenal. So I did want to say, before we got into specific performances, I did want to say that, you know, we had kind of gone over the last couple of weeks, you know, talking about moral victories and how just being close in these late games, how much that matters, just so that you get reps of having to perform and execute in those kinds of situations. Tonight, because they have those reps, they look really good. I mean, there were the occasional garbage possession that, you know, one in particular that Lou just kind of bailed them out of with a three-pointer late. But other than that, like they looked really good on both sides of the floor. And you're starting to see some of those details that we talked about with that Luke has been talking about really start to pay dividends.
Yeah, so last night we did a podcast where we talked about how important moral victories are. I want you guys to go ahead and delete that one. It doesn't matter. Throw it in the trash. The Lakers have a win, so who cares about moral victories?
First download it.
Download it and then delete it.
Yeah, come on.
And then review the show on iTunes. 5 stars, preferably. But anyway, throw that in the trash. That moral victories are for suckers. The Lakers won a game tonight, so they're undefeated since we did that podcast. I think we might have lit a fire under them.
And they beat Dwight. Like, that's, yeah. They beat a good team.
D'Angelo Russell, I think he wanted to show Dwight, like, hey, you left the Lakers because you didn't want to play with me? That's fine. I mean, who cares that Dwight left the Lakers 2 years before Russell ended up there? But, you know, I think D'Angelo, he seems like the type of guy that would maybe just take that personally anyway.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw this, but right after the game, Russell went right up to Dwight's face and said, I'm the captain now. It was crazy. It was really cool. Cool moment.
Yeah, Yeah, it was great. It was great. That definitely happened. All this stuff definitely happened.
All of it. Yeah, all of it. Yeah. But it's so here's the thing, and this is why it in the end, one game, you know, one win over the Hawks on a random Wednesday night isn't going to matter all that much in the grand scheme of things. But for a young team who you're trying to coach these habits and coach them out of bad habits and coach them into good ones, if they keep losing, eventually they say to themselves, wait, are these habits really that important, right? Just even subconsciously. And when you win a game like tonight, it kind of hammers home like, hey, this good feeling that you're having right now because you won in, you know, a good game, you beat a good team on the road, that's, you know, that's kind of going to imprint with them how important it is that they really get all these habits down.
Yeah, that's just classical conditioning. You give them like a little win for their hard effort and they're going to keep putting in the work.
Yeah, absolutely. And shouts to the Laker fans out there in Atlanta. Like that was yeah, awesome.
They showed out tonight. They showed, you know, hey, like Kobe's gone, but the Lakers fans in Atlanta still run that building. So that was nice.
the Lakers brand is dead though, remember? So
yeah,
that's unfortunate.
Rest in peace.
let's go ahead and talk about these individual guys then. And the guy who I think his best game of the season so far.
Yeah, I don't feel like that's a stretch at all. We're of course talking about Ivica Zubac, and yeah. No, we're talking about D'Angelo Russell.
Like he did an incredible, you know, Travis Knight impersonation with all the fouling and unathletic play out there. But I thought he was all right. But we should probably talk about Russell.
Hey,
first.
For a rookie 7-footer, we'll just get him out of the way real quick. I thought he acquitted himself pretty well. 3 of 3 from the field. Dwight Howard obviously dominated him whenever he was in there. We kind of knew that was going to happen. But to get a little bit going offensively and just not totally embarrass himself, like that's good for a rookie, for a 19-year-old 7-footer. Like most 19-year-old 7-footers, like can't walk without tripping over themselves. So, you know, most 19-year-olds as a whole, just except Brandon Ingram, otherwise too. But
all right, I have to bring some breaking news.
Okay, what's the breaking news?
Baxter Holmes just tweeted out that Luke Walton looked at a TV just now, saw the World Series score, laughed, and said with a huge grin, "How's that feel, Cleveland?"
Oh man, even Luke is making 3-1 jokes now.
Ooh, mainstream.
Oh, we're getting totally off track now, but that's pretty awesome. Kevin Durant is somewhere yelling to himself while shooting about this too. He's like, they said that only Oakland blows a 3-1 lead and my new friends were trash, but now it's Cleveland. And like some reporters like, why did he call me here just to listen to him scream at himself again?
Yeah, this got way off track. Now we brought Kevin Durant into this.
We're way out. Okay, so D'Angelo Russell. He was good tonight. Russell,
so he finishes the night. He plays 31 minutes, which I believe is up there as a high for him this season. He shoots 9 of 19 from the field, 1 of 3 from 3, 4 of 4 from the free throw line to total 23 points, 8 assists, and 4 rebounds. He had 3 blocked shots. And a steal.
Yeah, that's a career high, I believe I saw someone say, which I guess shouldn't surprise me. But the Lakers, I think they've officially solved their rim protection problem. they didn't need Mozgov. They just needed to put Russell back. No, but no, his defense was good tonight, I thought, overall. Well, he had a couple lapses on Schroeder, I think, for sure. But, I mean, you know, that's helpful if your point guard can get 3 blocks. Really, the only dark mark on Russell's performance tonight is the 4 turnovers. But it's like we've talked about. That's the creativity tax. That's what's going to happen when you put the ball in a young point guard's hand so much. But overall, I thought he was really good. And he's the one that led the Lakers to victory down the stretch.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing that I like the most about him. One of the issues that I had with Jordan Clarkson early in his career was he would make a mistake and his head would drop and you would notice it. I wouldn't necessarily go as far to say that it would affect the next play, but it would definitely kind of irk him in the moment. And while you don't want your guy to, you know, you want him to feel kind of bad about, you know, a turnover or some kind of mistake, but you don't want it to affect a play. You don't want it to actually affect his vibe out there on the court. And when Russell, commits a turnover, even something as dumb as like he had a cross court pass to start the third quarter that made Luke Walton call a timeout.
Yes, I remember that was fun. I was like, wait, why is it? Yeah, that was he got those quick timeouts out of halftime down Pat and already.
So you know, Russell has that turnover that forces that timeout. But, you know, when he got back to the bench, he kind of said, you know, it's my bad, guys. But you never got the sense that it made or it affected, you know, a decision on a later play at all. He remains aggressive almost to a fault with his passes. That's where the turnovers come from. But I don't mind those turnovers, especially from a young guy, right? At the end of the day, these wins don't, like, the actual win itself doesn't matter as much. It's about, you know, trusting yourself and your teammates knowing that if you're open, he's going to find you, even if he has to force it a little bit.
And you have to assume eventually he's going to cut out the dumb stuff and that he's going to kind of learn how much smaller his window is at the NBA level. And that's just part of the growth process. But yeah, I mean, you don't want him to stop making those passes. Those passes are eventually what's going to help him reach his full ceiling, or just kind of the vision that he has and the passes that he can make are what makes him such a unique prospect. So you don't want him to stop doing it. You just want him to start figuring out when he has the full window to and when he doesn't. And I mean, it's unfortunate for right now, while the Lakers are trying to get kind of these like rare wins, that it's going to cost them sometimes, but that's how he's going to figure it out. Is he has to mess up. He's going to make the mistake, and he's going to see it on tape enough times that he's going to figure it out. Like, guys don't just come in at, like, nobody makes passes. Nobody cuts down their turnovers because they're just like, I don't want to turn the ball over anymore. They have to figure out how they're turning it over and learn those lessons the hard way.
Right. And that was my main gripe with the last coach, right? Was he would make, Russell would make those mistakes and then get chewed out, or he would hear about it in the press after the game. Something dumb like that would happen. And
the advice last year, the advice was just play better.
Right, right. Whereas I think if he makes that turnover there, like he made that turnover tonight, he gets back to the bench and Walton says, you know that when he gets back to the bench, it's constructive criticism. It's constructive, you know, backlash to a dumb play like that. I don't think that
existed. Or at the very least, even if it's yelling, it seems like Russell's going to be more receptive to it this year, given how glowing he's been about Walton the entire offseason.
Absolutely. The next guy that I wanted to talk about was Lou Williams, who, again, down the stretch for big possessions, they're going to him to create, especially late in shot clocks. And he continues to answer the bell, both passing and shooting. He finishes tonight with 18 points, again, 4 assists. He had 5 last night. He said before the game, they asked him about, you know, how they're going to handle rebounding with Mozgov out there or not out there. And he said that he hasn't gotten a rebound yet this season, so he's going to have to get his hands in there and try to create something for himself. He pulls down 3 rebounds, so he goes true to his promise. and he shot a few more free throws tonight, 4 of 4 that he didn't shoot as many last night.
Yeah, well, I think he shot 3 last night, so that is technically more, but
yeah.
This is just a little bit of a tangent, but this is why I love the preseason, man. Remember when we were convinced that Lou was going to be out of the rotation because he played bad in a couple preseason games? Yep. Like, we overreact to this stuff every year. We never learn. And it's not just, I don't mean just specifically us two. I mean, we're dumb, but we're no dumber than like the rest of the, well, maybe a little dumber than the rest of the media, but
yeah, I'm definitely stupid.
Not significantly dumb. I mean, everybody overreacts to the preseason, and I love it. Every year we get made to look like idiots, and we keep doing it. And yeah. So I guess this should just replay this podcast to me next year when we're declaring that some, you know, effective NBA player is going to be out of the rotation for some random reason based on 4 exhibition games.
So wait, you're telling me Lou Williams isn't going to be the MVP this year?
Well, yeah, I don't think that we should overreact in that direction. But I do think, again, he's had value for the Lakers. He can create his own shot, which is, and like create a good, efficient shot a lot of the times. And so that's valuable. He's someone that I think should be in the rotation right now. And, you know, I just wanted to point out how crazy and wrong we are sometimes.
Well, and the creativity is what stands out to me. We always knew he could score, right? Yeah. That was never a question. But his ability to, like, he had the one pass tonight that, Nance wound up dunking, right? And that was a great pocket pass. It hit Nance perfectly in stride, and Nance did with it what he can. And all season or the last few games when he's had to make that kind of play, Lou has generally made the right play.
Yeah, and we they had that weirdo lineup in there that we all thought wasn't going to work, where it was him and Clarkson, and it was that lineup, it was that starting backcourt from last year that just showed no semblance of effectiveness at all. Mm-hmm. And I thought it actually kind of worked tonight in the fourth quarter. And so I guess it just goes to show the value that a system can have in helping players fit together as well. And, you know, maybe Lou is more focused on passing this year.
Well, I think part of it, too, is, you know, and I look, it's easy just to kind of go back to coaching with all of these things. But I do think that with those pick and roll kind of situations, it's not, hey, Lou, we need you to break your guy off the dribble and then find somebody open who might be cutting to the basket. It's a pick and roll. It's going to be a pretty obvious choice between shooting, passing to one pass away, or hitting the roller. And for somebody who hasn't done much creating for all of his career for others, making it simple and keeping it simple is really huge for you know, allowing him to work himself into that role.
Yeah, I would agree.
All right. The other thing and the last thing that we wanted to talk about tonight. Sorry, everybody. It's going to be a shorter show. My wife is currently stranded in Orange somewhere because her truck broke down. So
did you try telling her to man up, or?
I told her to tell her truck to man up, and somehow it didn't work.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll figure it. We'll figure it out. We'll figure that out.
Trend. It's a trend like throughout this year that manning up just isn't helping anybody. But you wanted to specifically talk about a stat that really jumped out to you.
Well, so I guess I should just ask our listeners, does it seem like the Lakers are missing a lot of wide open shots? Well, it turns out that that's not just us totally being biased. They actually are. They are going, before this game, so the numbers haven't updated yet tonight, or as of when we're recording this podcast, but going into tonight's game, the Lakers were shooting a league worst 17.2% on open shots, which means that a defender was 6 feet away or more as tracked by NBA.com. So that I'm willing to bet that is going to bump up a little bit as the year goes on, and that's part of the reason for the Lakers' offensive struggles. I mean, we've been kind of saying they're just missing open shots, and that's not just us looking for easy analysis. They're actually missing a lot of open shots. The next closest team was the Orlando Magic, and they were around 25%.
Well,
so, which tonight, for them, you'd expect that since they don't have a single shooter on their team, apparently.
tonight was a perfect example of that. I thought it perfectly encapsulated it's maddening that this is probably the smartest analysis that somebody can make, and also the simplest analysis. If a team makes shots, they're going to look a lot better, right? It's a matter of how often are you creating those shots. tonight, in the first half, the Lakers were, I believe it was 1 of 10 from 3-point range. And a lot of it was open shots. And then in the second half, they shot whatever it needed to be to get them back up to, I think they shot 40% at the end of the game, by the end of the night, from 3-point range. So they had to shoot significantly better in the second half. And guess what? They in the first half, the first two quarters, they scored 28 points in the first quarter, which isn't bad. 23 points in the second quarter, which isn't great. In the third quarter, they scored 39 points. And in the fourth quarter, they scored 33 points. And making those shots, it turns out, is kind of important.
Yeah, I think making shots, you know, it's not something that people talk about a lot, but it is really important to winning basketball games. So I'm glad that it took the Lakers a couple games, but they figured that out. Mm-hmm. So they got it nailed down now. I guess they're probably going to go undefeated the rest of the year.
So hot take, should they, you know, start firing people for making it take so long for them to know that they, you know, to make that adjustment? Hey,
I think you got to give them a little bit of a chance this early in the year. Yeah. But, you know, if it happens again where they start missing shots consistently, then I think, you know, you might have to make some moves.
Especially if they're missing them on purpose. Like, it's just such a dumb strategy. Yeah,
that's a poor strategy.
All right. Like I said, we kind of have to take off here because I have to
One last thing. Right. Nick Young has we're going to give him the quote of the night. We haven't done this a lot this year because we're just getting back into the swing of having games again. But mm-hmm. Nick Young, early runner, front runner for the quote of the night, other than Luke Walton's, I guess. But Nick Young, this is from Serena Winters, but Nick Young on Ivica Zubac's rookie debut, quote, he's undefeated on this team so far. He's the only one. That's 1-0.
Look, it's just facts. Facts only, right?
Yeah. Like, so Aviza Zubats undefeated in his NBA career, and just book it. I don't know that that'll continue, but it's true for now. What we were all predicting jokingly on Twitter is actually true.
Aviza Zubats MVP. You can't spell MVP without the V that's also in Aviza Zubats's first name.
That was bad. All right, we should end the show now.
All right, so you can find this and all of our other shows on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. Make sure you're following you're using the promo code LOLakers on SeatGeek to get your $20 rebate. We will come back again tomorrow. This is going to be downloaded, and you're going to be able to listen to this again tomorrow if you like. But I believe tomorrow
we're going to have to stop explaining that to the audience. I think they're at some point we got to give them credit.
This is true. But we will have a different guest on for tomorrow's show. I don't know who it's going to be. You'll find out along with me. So
it's not going to be me. So surprise guest. Is it going to be Kobe? I guess we aren't going to say it's not going to be Kobe.
Harrison, I'm just noticing right now, but you should maybe not wear white t-shirts anymore.
Okay. So all the audio listeners aren't going to get that one, but thanks, Anthony.
All right. So we'll talk to everybody later. Have a good one.
All right. Thanks, Anthony.
Shouts to Kent Bazemore.
Support for this podcast comes from NetSuite. NetSuite lets you see what's going on with your business in real time, from accounting to order management and much more. You've outgrown your business management software. Let NetSuite help. Go to netsuite.com/podcast to get your free guide and find out why NetSuite is a leading business management solution for growing companies. Get up and running fast with NetSuite.